This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish Zephaniah with Israel's joy and restoration, and then move to 1 Timothy with introduction, using the law lawfully, Christ comes to save sinners, and shipwreck of faith. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Lord, open my lips, haste, O God, to deliver me. Thank you.
reading from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have mercy on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
One moment, please. I like to read the reading that was assigned to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though now you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. To everything there is a season, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. Peter was a great preacher, Pentecostal in the best way. And so it happened at the festival of the harvest that God's people were gathered from all over the world. Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Jerusalem became ever so briefly Mecca, a magnet for the nations, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Jerusalem became ever so briefly what it had always been intended to be, an ecclesia of the baptized, a communion marked by apostolic teaching and punctuated with the breaking of bread of Christ's presence. But the church's honeymoon, harvest, and homecoming was short-lived. The stoning of Stephen ignited the great diaspora, and I suppose that's been the pattern of the church ever since. Whether it's Jerusalem or Rome, Constantinople or Wittenberg, the center seldom holds, at least not for long, not forever. To everything there is a season, and the faithful are scattered and find themselves sitting by the rivers of Babylon, singing sad songs in a foreign land. And so Peter steps into the fray once more. Even as he preached to the gathered, he encourages the castaways. The rock offers up a radio-free Europe, an issues, etc., a podcast, a broadcast, out into places he has never been, out to people who carry on the faith in situations uncertain, to Christians scattered in Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, to Christians driven into small rooms behind locked doors. Peter's epistle is most especially for Christians who are suffering for the gospel's sake, for those Christians who are behind the iron curtain, for those Christians hidden away in places where there are no steeples or church bells, where the only call to prayer comes from mosques and minarets, for those Christians who are even now huddled together in Chinese house churches, fearful for their lives and their livelihoods. And indeed, we have some students here whose friends and family have experienced this firsthand. And to this list, we might add Christians who stand faithfully among us and are often left alone as if upon an island. These are those who are fined and fired, driven out of business for their faith, while other Christians remain silent. Pentecost Peter cried out, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. This promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off." Now Peter speaks to those who are far off. He wants them to know that although they have no access to grand houses of worship, they still belong to God's family. Though their circumstances are meager, their heavenly mansion has been secured. Peter speaks of the God who caused them to be born again. But here let us follow the Greek. The King James gets it right. According to his abundant mercy, our Father has begotten us again. A good reminder that life begins not at birth, but at conception. Peter tells us that God the Father has begotten us from on high, even as our faith is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Peter echoes the words spoken to him when he made his own great confession. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. For we are those begotten not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." The Word begets us, and baptism ties us to Christ. And as Christ shared in our suffering, we are bound to those who continue to suffer for his name's sake. Our Heavenly Father has newly begotten us to a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter tells the persecuted that they have an inheritance, undefiled and unfading, kept for them in heaven. And Peter knows that of which he speaks. For he is not at the center. He is not basking in Jerusalem glory. nor are there great choirs to aid in his singing. He writes from Babylon, the belly of the beast, the place where he soon will find himself crucified upside down. This seminary in Fort Wayne fulfills its calling by being a beacon of hope, by transmitting a message to all who are in peril. We know why such trials must occur, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We fulfill our calling and we stand in solidarity with the persecuted when we willingly take the cross's shame upon ourselves. The alternative, far too often taken, is to stand aloof, at a distance, and above it all, make enitoy. It is worth here remembering that the Lutheran minister Richard Wurmbrand, who suffered persecution under both the Nazis and the communists, when he came to America, he did not run away from this suffering, but he founded Voices of the Martyrs, a group that gets the gospel of Jesus Christ into the shady nooks and dark corners of oppression, a group that still smuggles Bibles, including these precious words of St. Peter, into places where Christians dare not speak in public. To Christ alone be the praise, the glory, and the honor. But we have a place. For in the limelight of the resurrection, the faithful will stand. In that glory, the faithful will bask. And so when difficulties come, as they must, we stand firm until the day of revelation. For though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter reminds us, our Lord is never far away from the persecuted, for he himself is the stone that the builders rejected. On such a day as today, in seasons such as this, we are gathered together, our voices raised in mutual encouragement. Call night marks the beginning of a kind of scattering. Persecution, perhaps now in this land, may make the problem of separation still more acute. But to everything there is a season. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And if we do not stumble, if Christ does not become for us a scandal, we will be like living stones built up as a spiritual house. For to everything there is a season, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. Amen.
Thank you.
my prayer.
In our prayers, we give thanks with Aaron and Rachel Ferguson at the birth of their daughter, Agatha Irene.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O gracious and merciful Father, you have given life to Agatha in your image. Grant her to be broadly swift to the waters of holy baptism, and build her up in faith and service to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, would be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.